All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's episode. This is episode 71. It's an interview with Bob Griswold. We're going to be going down the path of Red Dawn and give a little bit of an update on what's happening with Russia and Ukraine and the rest of this crazy world. Before we go through any of that, the American Vindicta show will now be airing at 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's before the Doug Hagman show. So please stay tuned to that. We're moving from 11 p.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Eastern, which means I got to get up a lot earlier to get a lot of this work done. So please stay tuned. Before we get to Bob, we got to pay a few bills with some ads. So we see that the American currency is failing. Obviously, Joe Biden's not going to dig us out of this coffin yet. And we need to be able to reallocate our funds. Some of the best way to do that is through precious metals. If you go to stevequayle.com, his Renaissance Precious Metals, take your economy that's failing, take your dollar, exchange it for a buffer, and get gold and silver, platinum, palladium, get some sort of exchange rate within precious metals. This is money that you can carry in your pocket. It's not going to lose its value, and it is notably all over the world used as a form of exchange. You know, one of these days we may wake up very, very likely and end up looking like some of the African countries where at once we had value within our monetary system, and then, you know, $1 million can't buy you bread and eggs. So while you have the time, get your gold and silver, Renaissance Precious Metals. Next, we have mountain-state-survival.com. Jeff's website, me and Jeff were just recently talking today, and he's building some new stuff onto the website. He's got a really creative way that he's gathering survival materials, especially with food and other survival items, into a bucket. So it's going to be at a very reasonable cost. And instead of trying to go on Amazon and scour the internet and, you know, giving your money to these big box stores and these big billionaire New World Order stores, support small business. Support your patriotic business. Go to mountain-state-survival.com. If anything, give Jeff an email, a text, or a call, and he will walk you through the process. Next, we have our favorite, Bob Griswold. Bob, give me a reason why I need night vision.
Well, I mean, unless you have eyes of an owl or eyes of a cougar, you can't see at night. When do bad people do things? They do it at night. I mean, you've been in law enforcement, and the creatures come out at night.
All the time.
And so you are going to be, Doug, this is what is going to happen. You know this. People with night vision are going to come to your place at night, pop a couple rounds into your house. You're going to stay up all night thinking the boogeyman's out there. They can go and sleep and eat and whatever. And over 3 or 4 days of breaking your sleep pattern up, you're going to get sleep deprived. What do sleep deprived people do? They start making mistakes, big mistakes, life-ending mistakes. So with night vision, it puts you on parity or superiority. If the other guy doesn't have it, you'll see him. I don't want to be on parity. You know what Cooper say? If your tactics are fair, they suck. Something to that effect. You know, I don't want to have fair tactics. You know, if you're not in a fight, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I want to cheat. I want to win that fight. I want to go home to my wife. I want, you know, I don't want the other guy to go home or come into my family and hurt my family. So it's an absolutely essential gear. With night vision, a trained operative with night vision is going to take everything you want. I don't care how many food, guns, whatever you have. If he knows what to do, he's going to break you down and take everything you have. It is an expensive item to get good night vision. Don't buy the cheap stuff. You're going to regret it. We've had so many people call me up and say, I wish I hadn't bought this. I just wasted my money. If you get a military-grade piece of night vision, you're going to see clearly at night. You're going to have facial recognition. You can drive a car at night, headlights off. It is critical. In my opinion, it's on paramount to food and water, night vision. Which track is more important when a train is going down it? Well, both are equally as important. Take one track away and the train comes off and doesn't go anywhere. So, you know, night vision, radio, and weapons, food and water. Those are the tracks that people you have to that the train's going to run on. And if you don't have that, you're going to lose. So I would just say that night vision is it. We're one of the few dealers that have it in stock. I have plenty of it in stock, so I can ship it out next day. You don't have to wait. Sometimes people are waiting 4 or 5 months.
What other accoutrements would you have to complement the night vision? Would you still say that people should be getting laser IR devices?
Absolutely. I have a 250 yard range on my property, and it gets very, very dark back there. So on a 200 on a night when I can't barely see the hand in front of my face, I can put my knobs on and laser, and I can hit a piece of steel which I have hanging there 200 yards away. So it gives me such a tactical advantage. And if I had two people with night vision, and we had radios to calm each other, you literally at that point have to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. You're gonna have to want to lose or try to lose. So it's going to give you the ultimate. I've seen what happens when the rule of law breaks down. You've seen what happens. People get violent in this country. We're so used to having everything we want, the TV, the cell phone. I just read people go, there's a substantial amount of people when the battery on their cell phone gets low, they go into depression. I mean, imagine when they can't get their SSIs or their benzos or whatever they're on to make them operate normally. Just imagine when that doesn't happen. Their cell phone, they can't chat with their friends. It's going to get violent quickly. Supply chain breaks down. Can't get what they want. Maybe the football game's not on. The electricity's not there. It's going to end badly. This society, it's going to end badly. I say that with mathematical certainty. We're not going to escape it. And if you think we are, then you've not read history. You don't understand the nature of man, the nature of God's judgment on a nation. You don't understand any of that. And so night vision is a critical element. And as you know, you and I have been talking recently, communication is just unbelievably important.
And I strongly suggest anyone out there to make sure that you give Bob a call when it comes to anything about radio. Bob is a wizard when it comes to radios, and I am definitely a layman when it comes to radio. I know how to talk on them. I was trained for the last 14 years how to talk on them, and I can do it proficiently, but not many people know, and Bob, not many people know that radios are something that you should be listening to more than speaking on. And there are other, and there are so many other things that goes along with that. And you know, we're talking about the ability to prepare the American patriot for something like let's just say hypothetically, the Red Dawn invasion. And we say all hypothetical, but look at Ukraine. Ukraine is right now in the midst of a guerrilla warfare. I don't care, ladies and gentlemen, if you like Ukraine, if you like Russia, where you stand. Me and Bob look at it as this mathematical equation of might versus might. One has a tank, one has a Molotov cocktail. They both have similar weapon systems when it comes to assault rifles and pistols, but there's a technological difference there. Night vision, thermal optics, this puts you on par with a professional military. And it's not only that, but when you talk about a Red Dawn scenario, you're not going to be out there like John Rambo by yourself with a crossbow slaying the communists. You're going to be moving at night stealthily, trying not to make noise, more than likely operating in small unit style tactics, which means if you don't know who is who, that's when mistakes can happen. That's when you can accidentally shoot your buddy.
Absolutely. We were talking about doing a salute report, how to do a salute report, and you can look it up online what it means. But just so that you have these tactics down now, this little Bofang radio, $79. This is the BFF8. I can do so much with this. GMRS, MERS, ham radio. Don't talk on ham radio without a license. They can fine you $10,000. You don't want to have that happen. Get your ham radio license. It's worth getting. But this gives me access. I think I mentioned this on the last program. If I'm here and I go talking to someone, I go, yeah, my old lady wants me home. Or you hear me go, oh, yeah, my sweetie wants me home tonight. I'm going to spend some time with her. I've just admitted I was married. But one of them, I'm waiting for a truck to run her over. And the other one, I really love her. You know, so listening is critical. People think they're for talking, they're for listening. I'd much rather listen than talk. I just know that from just doing interrogation type stuff. I'd rather listen than talk right. Because people do that. So I'm going to listen on this, gather intel. I'm going to write everything down you say. I hear people talking about it. It doesn't matter how small it is. I'm going to write it down and keep a time, date, everything, what their accent is. Do they mention friends, the neighbors? We do radio. I can tell who's in charge and who's not in charge. So I want to, Joe's in charge. I could tell because he's given the instructions. Sam's just some flunky out there doing his thing. So, I mean, that's exploitable. The purpose of intelligence gathering is one reason. It's to exploit. That's the whole purpose. You gather intelligence so you can exploit. And that might not sound Christian, but it's the reality of the real world. Intelligence services gather intel so they can exploit the situation, you know, and then learning how to read a situation. I mean, you know, it's the OODA loop, observe, orient, decide, act. You know, if I drive by Walmart and I notice there's maybe a ambulance and a police car out there, I'm going to think probably somebody had a heart attack or something like that. You know, but if I drive by Walmart and I see five ambulances and a bunch of police cars, I'm going to think active shooter. You know, learning how to observe and orient and acclimate to that situation. The thing with night vision, it acclimates you so well at night. You can hide. You can do so many things at night that you cannot do without the night vision. It's a critical skill. Same thing with radio. You got to be able to keep in touch. And these things aren't that expensive. You know, and the other thing is, here, I'll show you.
Frequency mode 1, 6, 2, 5. Five.
Noah, I get 24/7 weather report. Is weather important? You better believe this. This is weather intelligence. This goes 24/7. You know, the radios are a critical element. I can help people with it. And there's authentication ways. I was telling you today, you know, we sit down on the calendar and come up with numbers and say that today's number is 14. And I go, you know, 3. Your response, I say authenticate 3, and you have to come back with 11 equals 14. That's a simple authentication method so that I know I'm talking to Doug Thornton and not somebody else who's spoofing Doug Thornton. You know, there's all kinds of sources and methods that you can operate like that. Now, on ham radio, that's not legal, but, you know, if the zombies are out eating people, I'm not going to really care, you know, at that point. So there's all kinds of things you can do with a radio, but it's not to talk. You know, if I come on there and I say my sweetheart, my children, my little girls, I mean, those are things you have to get out of the habit of saying. I know I love my children. I want to brag about them, you know, but I'm not going to mention in a crisis situation. I'm not going to give away that I have anything. The other thing, I wish I had my cell phone here. You can download your most exploitable asset when you're on the radio is your voice. And you know, I know your voice. You know my voice. So I have a text to speech on my cell phone. So I type in, hey, hello, Doug, this is Bob, you know, or I'd say hello, whatever, not whatever, I'll use your names, but I'd text something in and text it in, write it down, and then I push play. And in a computer voice, it reads back what I said. So I'm not giving my voice away. It's just a way to maintain some security and privacy because you don't want to give your voice away.
There's a field expediency when we talk about, you know, the whole theoretical of the Red Dawn situation. When you have a professional military coming in and you need to talk with your buddy on the other side of the county, on the other side of the city, you need to start preparing for other types of operations. And we're speaking hypothetically FBI, so, you know, put your pens down. But that key element of communications, it won't last forever because there are jamming possibilities there. So as long as you have the ability to communicate before the jamming process starts, you can at least spread that intel. You can gather that intel and you can say, hey, you know, meet me here at this location. And, you know, you can adjust fire after you get there. There's too many different ways. And you know, even whenever I was in Iraq, there were plenty of times when our comms would go down and we had to learn how to use other things besides comms. We had to, you know, use arm signals, arm and hand signals. We had to learn how to use, you know, light signals, running codes, walking codes, the passwords, guide passwords. You had to learn how to use different flags for different things. You and I have talked about that before. You know, these are things the average American does not understand. And there are a lot of books out there that people get and they won't even know how to read it. They won't know or understand the military lingo. So it's good to have a resource who has actual hard time in the field, like Bob Griswold, who can teach you how to be more prepared for your scenario, whatever your scenario is. And, you know, hey, me here in Texas, my scenario is going to be very different from the people in Maine. Very different.
Hot weather, cold weather, Huge difference. Geographic location is a huge difference. I mean, you don't have to worry so much about water filters freezing. We said that last time. People in Michigan, if your water filter freezes, it's going to crack. Water expands, it's going to crack it. You know, one of the things we do is I would recommend when we go out, don't program your radio. I mean, there's program nerds out there that have to program a billion frequencies in these things. What happens if you lose it? You've just given away tremendous intel to whoever finds it. That's why we use something called PACE. P-A-C-E, Papa Alpha Charlie Echo. And every time it changes. PACE is primary. Primary has a transmit and receive frequency. So they're not the same. That way, if somebody's listening, they're going to hear half a conversation because the transmit and the receive are different frequencies. Alternate. If I think my primary has been blown, I'll switch to the alternate frequency. Now, we've determined this. Both teams have this when they go out. Same thing. Transmit, receive. Contingency frequencies. Then when that happens, it's time to book it. You've been compromised. And then the last thing, emergency, that's not even an electronic signal. You can go on eBay and buy a VF-17 signal flag, Victor Foxtrot Sierra. It's a signal flag. It's hot pink on one side and orange, bright orange on the other. That's a signal flag. You don't have to do an electronic. You'll see that. At night, you might want to use it if you have night vision, infrared chemical light. You can use your nods because they have an infrared light on it. Flick it a couple times, huh? Oh, okay. Oh, sorry.
Keep going.
But you know that's what you can do. Radio is just that critical. So I'm just saying, you be ready for it.
So now that we've gotten all of our ads done, let's talk about what we originally were talking about earlier. What is it with the new nuclear policy change?
Okay, yeah, well, I mean, here it is. You can actually get this off the blaze. This is where I have it from. You know, they changed the nuclear policy that if a nuclear weapon goes off, you remove your contaminated clothing. Okay, that sounds interesting. And then you go into a building somewhere, go in the middle of the building, and you stand 6 feet apart. They've actually incorporated COVID things. So here you have a bunch of naked people with no clothes on because they're contaminated, and you stand 6 feet apart from each other and wear masks. This is the insanity these people have. Yeah, I mean, if a weapon goes off, the last thing I'm going to be worried about is maybe I'll get COVID.
Yeah, this is the ironic thing, because in a lot of federal buildings, you have these sheltered zones where, yes, you know, this is the fallout area. And, you know, even in some public buildings like libraries and such, they'll have that, depending. But you're going to shove as many people into there as possible. You're not going to worry about pneumonia or COVID or tuberculosis because nuclear fire is going to be on the outside.
I mean, you know? And so and then again, you've removed your clothes. That should really be interesting. And sheltered up with a bunch of naked people for a couple of weeks. See what happens. Oh, my gosh. I think the Superdome in L.A., Louisiana was bad during the hurricane. Huh, wait till you see that one. Children have trouble breathing. You have to leave the mask on them now if they have trouble breathing. You know, I mean, here it is. You get it right off the Blaze TV. There's the policy change. So that's what we see. But on the other hand, the Russia thing, you know, we were mentioning, everybody is on the side of Ukraine and against Putin. But we have to learn the lessons of history. If we don't, as they say, we're doomed to repeat them. In World War II, Russia lost more people than anyone else. Hitler came in across the eastern border and basically almost made it to the gates of Moscow and destroyed that country. 20 million people died. And today, if you look at a map, U.S. bases and NATO bases encircle the western, the eastern front of Russia. And here we are in the Ukraine, military bases. There's been rumors of bioweapons labs there. I know they're trying to deny it, but we don't know. Listening posts. I can understand Putin being white knuckle worried about that because he is surrounded on his eastern front by armies and armies that don't like him. So, you know, before we go and jump in on both on one side only, because Putin's not all bad and Zelensky's not all good. Both of them are real thugs. I mean, they're not good people. So be careful about how you support something. As I mentioned earlier, you know, it gives me pause when I realize Hollywood elite, the Democrats, the liberals, George Soros all support Ukraine. Those are my enemies. Those are people I don't like too much. And I think they're trying to implement a Marxist system. in this country. So what are they doing over in supporting Ukraine? And the other thing is, you know, how do they justify, how do they reconcile the fact that Ukrainian government's giving out AK-47s to civilians so they can defend their nation? Think about that one for a second. You know, the government handing out AR-15s to, or no, not AR-15s, M-16s to civilians so they can defend their neighborhoods or something.
Yeah, that would go wrong very fast. And you know, and the problem in Kiev right now is that there are criminal elements that have gained these weapons, these military grade weapons, and they are having it out after each other in the middle of Kiev to the point that they're as dangerous as the Russian invaders. And you know, here's another thing that's very interesting about all this is that the same people who say we should support Ukraine are the same people who told you that there was weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. The same people who say we should support Ukraine took millions. Hillary Clinton's foundation took $10.1 million in 10 years from Ukraine. Hunter Biden got $88,000 a month from Ukraine. You cannot sit here as a logical person and tell me that there is no shadiness within Ukraine. Even the Democrats say that Ukraine was the most corrupt government in the world. But why are we supporting it then? Look, our hearts go out to the men and women and children in the middle of the combat that are being affected. That's where the guerrilla warfare is going on. You have people who are patriots of Ukraine. They want to keep Ukraine sovereign. They want to keep Ukraine out of Russia's hands, which is also why they're not accepting or allowing any type of infantry from NATO or the UN to come in. They just want air superiority to be vanquished, but no other country is stepping in. They want to send, they want to send ammo. They want to send money. They want to send goods and supplies and medical stuff, and that's great. But if you were really on the cusp of trying to vanquish the world's number one tyrant, which is what they say is surprisingly not George Soros, but Vladimir Putin.
What about China?
Then you would be sending your military in. But nobody is saying anything. You would be sanctioning Russia and cutting off the oil. You'd be opening up our, not oil reserves, our oil pipelines and refineries, and we would be the mass producer of oil again instead of sending it in from OPEC. The Saudis just denied us oil.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we import 500,000 barrels from Russia a day. The pipeline would have made 800,000 barrels. You can't be that stupid. That's all deliberate. It's deliberately done to bring down the American people, to destroy us, to destroy the middle class for sure. Out of all this, you know, we were going to see massive inflation. Ukraine makes enough food to feed 600 million people. So, you know, that's going to be coerced some way or another. It's going to cause more food shortages than we already have. As I said earlier, you know, and even in our own country, corn versus soybeans. Corn takes four times the fertilizer that soybeans take to grow. And right now we have a fertilizer shortage. So farmers are switching over to soybeans instead of corn. Corn makes gasoline. Corn makes everything. Corn chips. Corn syrup. It's in everything. This is all deliberate. You know, when I mentioned the Boy Scouts, you know, that what they did in the Boy Scouts, it's their modus operandi. It's their sources and methods. They go in, infiltrate, compromise, destroy. What they did to the Boy Scouts is, are the Boy Scouts in Ukraine related? You better believe they are, because the sources and methods are the same. It's the same thing. Infiltrate, compromise. What do they do to public schools? Infiltrated, compromise. What have they done to public education? Infiltrate, compromise, and destroy. That's how they do it. And so all we have to do is learn these lessons, and we can see the principles apply no matter what the situation. When a liberal, I mean, democratic cities, what have they done? Infiltrated, compromised. Are the democratic cities destroyed? Oh my gosh, they're crime zones with crap all over the street and needles, prostitution, sex slavery,
gang warfare.
It's all there.
Yeah. At one point in time when I was in Iraq, Chicago was more dangerous than after we were done with Fallujah.
Absolutely. Chicago, Detroit, I mean, you name it, Los Angeles, they're all Memphis. Memphis is an extremely dangerous city to go in. All of them democratic controlled. And you have to say, nobody is stupid enough to say, if I allow people to poop on the streets, we're going to get rats. If I allow people to shoot up drugs on the streets, we're going to get crime. You can't be that stupid. You know this is going to happen. So it's not like, oh, wow, you know, we're trying to be benevolent and we're trying to help these people. You don't help people by what do they call it, when you aid somebody to do something, enabler. Yeah, and the Democratic Party's been one huge enabler around the world. And let me ask you something. You know, here we have Hunter Biden over there. God knows what he's doing with these young girls over there, drugs, whatever. Joe Biden over there, you know, what's he doing? Do you think any of that's on video or audio?
Absolutely.
Do you think they're blackmailable? Hey, Joe, do you want somebody to see you having relations with some young girl? You know, I mean, these guys are so blackmailable. They don't understand. When you have all these cross-dressers and freak dog lovers and stuff like that, you know, the guys on all four, when you have these kind of people, they're blackmailable because they have deep skeletons in their closet. And so, oh, yeah, I want some nuclear waste. You better think about that. Look at these pictures. You know, that's the way it works. And our whole government's compromised.
That was the goal of Epstein Island.
Yeah,
you know, and this is what's interesting. Let's segue into the current events of Ukraine. I want to get your take of it because your field was obviously intelligence. Mine was of the line unit style. So, you know, I did the fighting for the most part. You gathered all the intelligence, which is a way crazy. Someday you got to share a story because it's insane, the stuff that you tell me. But this is what's interesting to me. How can a professional military like Russia be traveling from Belarus or through Mariupol, heading towards Kyiv, and then run out of gas? Where's the logistical train? Because this is what happens if you don't understand. If you're that, you know, staff sergeant or whoever, the tank commander, typically a platoon of tanks is 2 to 3 tanks, and you're in charge of that convoy, and then you start to run out of gas. Well, for one, you're carrying gas. You always carry gas on you. 2, you're carrying all different types of ordnances on you. And 3, if you have to leave that tank, would you or would you not then drop a white phosphorus grenade into the tank and destroy it so that no one else can use it? Because the videos that I'm getting are people that are now scavenging tanks that have ran out of gas on the highway. That is not what a professional, world-class, tyrannical government does. There's a platoon commander somewhere out there getting his ass chewed by the captain, who's getting his ass chewed by the major, then by the lieutenant colonel and the colonel, and then the generals, and then somewhere in Moscow out there in the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin is losing his mind because his, you know, staunch military, the Spetsnaz that everyone's afraid of, they're getting their butts handed to them by the Ukrainians, but there's so much disinformation.
There is. I mean, who's to say that Ivan's not selling the gas on the black market? I mean, you don't know what the dynamic is. I mean, you know, that's a very valuable commodity over there right now. They might not want to even be there. I wouldn't want to be there. And so I had friends that used to go to Moscow as merchant marines. Ivan would give you about anything for a pack of Marlboro cigarettes. You don't know the dynamic of why they're running out of gas unless you had that supply chain of where the gas broke down, where the gasoline shortage breaks down at. It's hard to determine why, but it could easily be they're selling it off to somebody. I would say there's a pretty good chance that's what's going on. They're saying we can make some money right now.
Well, you speculated last week, and I have to applaud you, that China was involved with this. So give us your best intel on that.
Well, I mean, you know, China wins. China wins in this. They're going to exacerbate the situation at all. First of all, they want to poke their finger in our eye big time. They want to poke both our eyes out. They want to do a Three Stooges on us, you know, boink. And not only just poke our eye, they want to go to the back of our brain. So they want to get us embroiled in that because it gives them freer hand in Taiwan and Hong Kong. So it only stands to reason that they're going to be involved in this. They're going to be an active player trying to bring down the American empire any way they can. If, you know, Russia and the United States go at it, they win. We see more and more. They're making more and more air incursions into Taiwanese airspace. They've already pretty much subdued Hong Kong when it was given back to them in the year 2000. They've slowly just taken over Hong Kong financially and politically. So, you know, they pacified Hong Kong, in other words, because when it first changed, it took time to pacify those people because they'd had freedom, and now they're losing their freedom. So Taiwan will be the same way, and they don't want us in the way to do anything about it. So, you know, that was a pretty easy guess on that one. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and you know, a pacified enemy is still an enemy.
It is.
And this is what I see happening is that the eventuality after the Olympics is done and all this other, you know, jockeying for positions is done with, if Biden does nothing on Ukraine, China will take Taiwan and they won't stop there. What do you think?
No, Hitler didn't stop until he had armed resistance in Poland. I mean, he took Austria, he took the Sudetenland, Czechoslovakia. He just kept moving until finally they couldn't let him have it anymore. Where's going to be the Polish event here? How much land are we going to get? Let him take back. And I understand it. He wants that buffer zone. I understand it. But if he goes into the Estonia, Lithuania, any of those places, that's going to be game on. That's not going to be good. The other thing is, you know, everybody's expecting nuclear war. I think nuclear war could happen whenever you have somebody like Putin come on TV and say, put my nuclear forces at readiness. It's going to definitely change the posture of the United States as far as our readiness is concerned. We have to respond to that. You can just not respond. You can't just not respond. You have to respond to it. So we raise our readiness. At that point, does he raise his readiness? It can get out of control so fast. That's what I admire about Kennedy so much. General LeMay wanted to push World War III on Kennedy, you know, escalate. Kennedy did everything he could to de-escalate. And that's the other thing right now. We're not giving Putin any room to de-escalate. We're pushing him into a corner. The ruble's falling, the bottom's falling out. We're humiliating him verbally. The Western media is crucifying him verbally. Everything we can do, it's not diplomatic language we're using. It's provocative language we're using towards him. You might love him, hate him, despise him. He might be the Antichrist. He might have horns and wear red. But do we want World War III? Do we want that? So we want to de-escalate. I want to de-escalate it. But they're not giving them that option to de-escalate. They're pushing harder and harder and harder. You know, again, this is the reason. This is what we see when we have weak men in office. You know, you have the girly boy up in Canada. You have whatever. I mean, I don't think Biden knows the difference between Russia and a chocolate chip cookie right now. He probably doesn't know. He probably take the chocolate chip cookie. You know, whatever. But I saw another major gaffe by Kamala Harris today. You know, elections are like buying what you want. And it's just, and then she was actually, Joe Biden, I think, introduced her as the president of the United States. It's like, imagine having one, this administration reminds me of somebody with one foot nailed to the floor running really fast, you know?
It's a clown world. It's a clown show. Here's the interesting thing about Vladimir Putin. Is that the whole world, besides like four or five other countries, are trying their best to humiliate him. They're calling him the little man on the throne. They're saying all these horrific things about him. And, you know,
language.
Yeah, even if they're true or not. But if you look at his past, he's a very private person, an extremely rich billionaire. He's not just that he's a billionaire. He's an extremely rich billionaire. Yeah. And this is the same man who's, you know, taking pictures shirtless, riding on top of horses. This is a man full of pride.
Yeah,
this is a prideful man. And one of the worst things that you can ever do in any type of war is wound another man's pride, because then it becomes not professional anymore. It becomes personal.
You're insulting his manhood, if you know what I mean. Take that for what it's worth. I mean, you know, if two big guys have an altercation, they don't like each other, and I say your wife is fat and she looks like a pig's rear end. That's really conciliatory talk. No, that's escalating talk. You're going to get punched in the snot locker if you say that. That's what we're doing to him. I mean, I don't like the guy. He's a criminal. He's a thug. But do I want World War III? No, I don't. It's going to be catastrophic for the whole human race. Let's back away from it a little bit and give the situation an escape valve so that we can't get it out of there. You know, that's what we need to do, but we're not doing that. We're provoking war.
Well, this is something interesting whenever we get into history and we talk about upcoming events. Voltaire said that those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities.
Absolutely.
We have the press and we have the West that are trying to make you believe that there's going to be human genocide happening, all different types of atrocities. There's going to be all different types of people that are non-combatants. They're going to be killed in the tens of thousands. And now, I was out earlier today, the American press, along with some generals, are saying that Putin is ready to hit a Ukrainian city with a nuclear weapon. Now, I don't know where they got that from. Maybe it's actual. Maybe it's completely made up intelligence. But,
you know, Dave, if I spread disinformation about you, Doug, excuse me, you know, if I went on TV and just said something very, very slanderous against you, something with children, whatever, that damage is done. It doesn't matter if it's completely false, 100% false. If somebody makes a comment like that, damage is done. And so this is what we're doing. Damage has been done by what these people are saying. They have no regards for the human race, civility, peace, nothing. They're out there for ratings' sake, spewing this stuff that's absolutely false. I still remember the hurricane, latest hurricane that hit Florida. These guys are in these raincoats being blown away, and two dudes walk right behind them in normal shorts and like nothing was going on, you know? I mean, it's right. Total BS. And right. That's what we hear so much going on right now. And we're seeing the man.
We're seeing videos and pictures from stories that are 2 to 5 to 10 years ago that are being used by mainstream media trying to make you believe, just like weapons of mass destruction. Remember the lady right before we went in, and she was like, that Saddam Hussein soldiers are taking babies out of incubators and smashing their heads against the floor. Completely fabricated lie. Janet Yellen was completely okay with killing 200,000 to 300,000 children if we can take Iraq. That is not what we believe in as Americans. And we have to understand that as Americans, our founding beliefs from the founding fathers, from the biblical perspective of the Constitution, is not the same thing that these New World Order, global, satanic, elitist, blah, 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 these crazy people who we keep putting in power believe. They cry for innocent blood. They want innocent blood.
Libya. I mean, Muammar Gaddafi, was he a jerk? Yes. Was he a criminal? Yes. Was he a thug? Yes. Probably a child molester? Yes. But he was abiding by the agreement to settle the financial thing with the victims of Lockerbie. He had gotten rid of his weapons of mass destruction. And Hillary decides that she wants to go unilaterally and bomb the guy. So they go in there and bomb him, kill him. 40,000 civilians, non-combatants, are killed in the process. And from a failed state to an utterly failed state, ISIS takes over. That's where the whole Benghazi thing developed out of that. Probably they were trading weapons out of Benghazi. That's probably the real story. That's why the ambassador was killed. And what's the difference between what Hillary did in Benghazi and what Putin is doing in Ukraine? Nothing. In fact, I think it's worse, because Ukraine, if Ukraine is an American Ukraine, it presents a real threat on Russia's eastern border. Benghazi doesn't have any borders with the United States. There's a big border called the ocean, you know, that separates us from Libya to the United States is a long way. At least I think so. I looked on a map. Just kidding. But so they just went in there unilaterally for no reason whatsoever, bombed them, took him out of power, and today Libya is a completely failed state. It's a haven for terrorists, probably what they wanted, because we know they've used them. We know they use those people. Yeah. I mean, where was Barack Obama when women were being crucified and raped and dismembered by ISIS? Do you remember that? And they were going and killing Christians. I remember this one woman. They took the cross off the altar and drove it like a vampire through her chest, a Christian woman. Where were they then? Were those atrocities?
I can't remember what there was like a lost tribe of people that are out there in Iraq, a very small group of people that they had captured. And they were using the women as sex slaves, which is a big, big thing within these yeah. radical Islamic extremists.
The Democratic Party, too, but just
saying. Yeah. But they were feeding, they were starving them and then feeding them their own children.
Yeah.
I've said this before, I'll say it again. Never underestimate the depravity of man. The moment you think people can't get any crueler or lower, they will surprise you. Just look at, hey, once again, let's go back into history. Look at Cannibal Island with Russia pushing everyone off into an island that they thought were, just like Hitler did, that these were disposable people, and then they just let them die. And the dying became fed upon the living.
Yeah.
And when, what was it, a couple months later, when the Russians went back out there, there was only a couple survivors.
Right. When St. Augustine, he was being interviewed in his later life, he was recalling the thing that really disturbed him the most, and it was the fact that he'd gone onto his neighbor's property and vandalized it and stole pears. And somebody said, you know, you when you were younger, you really were loose with the women. That doesn't bother you? And you know what St. Augustine explained is, you know, there was something I gained out of sleeping with women. There was something I gained from doing this. He gained pleasure, money. I did the pear thing for violence's sake alone. There was no gain in it. I did it to be violent, to steal. I had no gain. And see, that's a principle with these people. There's no gain in it for them. There's nothing that they're gaining from it. It's for violence's sake and violence's sake. They don't get anything from it. They don't get any money from it. They get the thrill of violence. That's what it is. And that's what St. Augustine grieved over in his later life. I did that for just violence's sake. I didn't get anything out of it. It didn't profit me.
Let me ask you this. Who's the more brutal enemy, Russia or China?
Oh, gosh. I would say China, but they're both brutal. I wouldn't want to fall into their hands. I would, you know, they invent ways, things to do with DeWalt drills that make you shudder. You know, you need both of them would be very, very brutal. To get the Russian black market, you know, mafia, you don't want to get involved with them. They can make you wish you were dead very quickly. I mean, you'd be begged to die. But, you know, the thing is, both of them are brutal nations. Both of them have a history of brutality. I mean, Stalin was a butcher. You know, Mao Zedong was a butcher. And, you know, you just read ways they did it. It's human depravity. Down to the level of just violence for violence's sake. I love the violence. I love the torture. I love to hear the screams, things that we can't even fathom human beings. I mean, I can't fathom a human being wanting to molest a two-year-old. These people do. They get into it. And not only molest a two-year-old, but then, you know, injure it, torture it. That's the level of depravity you're dealing with people. And so, you know, again, that black book of communism, godless states have one thing in common, a lot of body bags. It's just the way it is. And so, you know, and we see this happening in our country. You know, if you look at Germany and Italy, they were the most evolved nation states the world had ever seen. Look what came out of Italy. Renaissance, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, you know, just Einstein, they gave into doctrines of demons, Hitler, for 10 years, and their nation laid in ruins. That should be a stark warning for us. United States, we have produced so much good for the world in our history, but in the last 20 years, we've given into doctrines of demons in a way that's unimaginable to any other generation in the United States. And if we think we're going to escape the same fate that Nazi Germany and Italy had, we have another thought coming. It's going to be with mathematical certainty, because the United States is what was once, God had revealed so much to us, you know, my country to this sweet land of liberty, that whole song. And now you can't even sing that song anymore because it's racist, it's bigoted, it's this, it's that, you know, all this stuff. I mean, no more Boy Scouts, no more Girl Scouts. It's just the Scouts. I mean, they destroy, infiltrate, and destroy everything. And our country has been destroyed by these people. And that's why I tell people, first of all, get your heart right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, nobody in hell is going to ever think, well, at least I had two pair of night vision and a year's food supply. You're not going to be thinking that. You know, you're going to be thinking, oh, my gosh, this is eternity. It's a long time. So get your heart right with the Lord. Surround yourself by men and women of valor, men of character. I don't want to be around lawless people. You know, I'm not going to be the guy who goes and steals from my neighbor because I'm hungry. I want to be around men and women who have a sense of law and duty about them. And then third of all, I want to have the supplies that I can use to survive. When Abraham went to go rescue Lot, he had to travel 175 miles with 318 men across desert. You're in the military. What would it take 318 men 175 miles across a desert? What kind of logistics do you have to have with that? You have to have food, water, animals. It's a tremendous logistic. You had to carry swords and spears with you because you were going to get in battle when you got there. So, you know, the pattern is there. Get your family ready. You know, you've seen it. I've seen it. People selling their wives or children, anything. In Tennessee, it's a huge problem in Tennessee. Parents selling their children so they can make ends meet. And, you know, selling them not to mow the lawn, to do other things, sex slavery. It's a huge problem in Tennessee. So it is going to happen. If you don't think it can happen here, just call Craig Sawman Sawyer, go to his website, email him. He sees it all the time. The depravity, the underbelly of America, whether with the child sex trafficking, it's there. So we're going to see internal and external conflict. This is my prediction. What I would say from history and the Bible, internal and external conflict, they're going to escalate and escalate and escalate. I don't know. I guess there is a possibility this will de-escalate. But even if it de-escalates, just imagine the animosity that's going to be generated between Ukraine and Russia right now. That ain't going away easy. The Civil War, it took 100 years for the South not to hate the North and the North not to hate the South. You know, Russia will do this. If they beat Ukraine, they're going to go in there and carpetbag that place. You remember the carpetbaggers? They just went in there and bought everything up cheap, and they took what they wanted, women, whatever. They're going to carpetbag that place, and there'll be fuming animosity there for a long, long time to come. And again, we're not giving the man an out, either of them an out. Zelensky, I mean, they've built him in the newspaper. You see now, he might as well have a cape on with a big S on it. I mean, that's they built him up to be Superman. This is not going to end well. It is not the diplomatic language they're using. It's the language of animosity and adversity. That's what scares me the most.
Yeah, and you know, we have people like George Soros and all the other, you know, radical Democrats and leftists that are supporting, or that are saying that we should be supporting Ukraine, which automatically makes me think, well, no, we shouldn't, because the same man, Joe Biden, who just this new nominee for Supreme Court Justice, I was doing some research on her. She, while in, I think it was Harvard, produced a paper that accredited the penalizing, the over penalizing of child molesters, and said that it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be
normalized.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Along with bestiality. Everything, polygamy, it'll all be normalized. And if you stand for Christian marriage, one man, one woman for one lifetime, I posted a few things on Facebook about this, that God's plan is one man, one woman for one lifetime. You know, difficulty in a marriage is a good thing at times, because if I find my wife being very cantankerous, or she finds me very, very cantankerous, even argumentative, even unloving, whatever, I get to act like Jesus. Jesus loved us no matter what we do. He loves us. And he bears with us. I tell people Jesus has been in a proverbial bad marriage for 2,000 years. Look at the history of the church. He's faithful. So no matter what you find yourself in, you know, God is looking for faithful men and women right now. But when I posted that, sound truth, one man, one woman for one lifetime, heads exploded. I mean, heads exploded. I was called everything because I believed in biblical marriage. I mean, literally, heads exploded. I could show you. People were calling me names, everything. Horrible.
Yeah, and you know, it's because of the times that we're in, and men calling good evil and evil good. Then we have what's happening with Russia and Ukraine. We're almost over the caring for COVID, but now what's starting to come out, Bob? Now you're starting to see Moderna and Pfizer are having these gene sequenced I guess you could say relations with COVID, and they're starting to silently come out that, hey, COVID was created in a lab. Yeah. So there, as always, and I keep saying this, and if you don't believe me, ladies and gentlemen, do your own history. All right. I've done enough of it. And I know what I know from what I've read. and doing my research. When these politicians, good, right, wrong, and different, doesn't matter which side of the aisle they're on, when they're in trouble, things start happening around the world. Either the monetary system goes down or war starts. And typically, one will follow the other, along with a great revolution, and then you'll have some sort of a great dividing amongst the people. This is what we're seeing. I am of the theoretical mindset right now that I think with the freedom convoy that's happening in America, we need to be very cautious of that because it's obviously going to be infiltrated. And I think by the time they get to D.C., and I base this off of what happened on January 6th this year, not last year, January 6th this year, FEMA said that they were going to start planning a seminar for a future event of a thermonuclear explosion from a device, an actual nuclear device, not a dirty bomb, an actual military device happening in a major metropolitan city in the United States. Now we're going to have the Freedom Convoy. I would not be shocked, Bob, if there was some sort of a device found, doesn't have to be exploded, but found in an 18-wheeler heading across the country that will be someone who was a Trumper that was connected to the Russians, and that's how it got in here. And now we have precipice for World War III. Now we have precipice for civil war in America. And I think if we have civil war in America, Canada will have civil war as well. What do you think?
I'll tell you, you know, the COVID thing. I mentioned that book to you, Demon in the Freezer. You know, the Chinese have the smallpox virus. They have the Ebola virus. They know how to splice those two together and come up with a hemorrhagic smallpox. If you read the book, we have what's called an IL-4 gene in us. They take that IL-4 gene they discovered, Richard Preston in the book talks about it, and they put it into the smallpox virus, and that gives it the ability to blow past your vaccine. They did it on rats. I mean, obviously, they're not allowed to use human subjects, at least not in this country. They probably do in China. I'm sure they do in China. But they took rats and infected them with mousepox. And, you know, they gave one they gave them all the vaccine. But the one group they infected with smallpox that had the IL-4 gene in it, and one the other, all the ones that didn't have it, the vaccine saved their life. All the ones that had the IL-4 gene in it, they all died. I mean, so they know how to blow past the vaccine. The hemorrhagic smallpox would have probably a 95%+ kill rate, whoever got it. Will they do this? Absolutely they'll do it. They've murdered 60 million children. I mean, you get a grasp on that for a second. They've murdered 60 million children in blood sacrifice of abortion. They'll do anything. If you can do that, tell me what you can't do. Right. If I can murder children and celebrate it, tell me what I'm not capable of. That's where it's at. So I tell people, get your heart right with the Lord, because we are coming down to some very, very perilous times. And it's funny how they call it the Great Reset, the Great Tribulation. Funny, isn't it? The Great Reset, the Great Tribulation. Maybe it's just it's the same coin, different sides, or the same coin, same side. They just call it something different. The Great Reset allows the introduction of the Antichrist, nuclear war, Man of Peace comes along. There's so many scenarios right now that are filling into Bible prophecy we see coming before our eyes, and I'm unashamed in saying that. Unless you have a biblical frame worldview of history, you will not understand history. You will not. You can get some gleanings from what's happened in the past, but unless you understand that there are demonic forces right now that drive, there's principalities and powers that drive these evil people, they have human agency, and they're operating right now, they're not even hiding it anymore in humanity. They're just out in the open, and anything that's good, decent, wholesome, they're absolutely just trying to destroy it. That's why they're destroying the United States. That's why when Democrats go into, a city. In the 1950s, you could walk down Washington, D.C., and it was a beautiful city. Detroit was a beautiful city. San Francisco, a beautiful city. Today, they're destroyed. That's what Satan does. Through agency of man, he destroys. And we're going to see this United States. We're right on the termites have eaten the house out, and it's ready to cave in. Most people don't see it because they're being entertained. They go home and watch football game and drink their beer. But at the same time, they don't recognize that we've had massive termite damage to the house.
You know what's interesting is people aren't preparing either. There are people like within our circle who preach this constantly about preparing, and we scream from the rooftops. This is not how I make money. If I wanted to go make money, I have other ways to go and do that. I can go back to the government and make six figures or more. If I wanted to make money, if you wanted to make money, there are other avenues for us. This is about preparing Christians, preparing Americans for what is an eventuality. The if is no longer on the table. It's when. And we are setting up Gog and Magog. Just look at what's happening throughout the UN and NATO right now, with the collapsing of Ukraine, pushing Russia closer to China. And just try, if you go through Gog and Magog, if you look at all the nations that align themselves against Israel, find which one of those nations rebuked Russia recently. You won't find it. But Russia did recently rebuke Israel, because Israel said, hey, you can use Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, whatever we decide to call it this week, as your neutral zone to meet with the Ukrainians. Russia rebuked them and said they don't even recognize Tel Aviv. They believe it's still a Palestinian city. This is so that you're right on the target. This is setting up so many different parallels of biblical prophecy. And just like prepping, just like, getting in shape and training with your weapon system and your radios, eating your food to make sure it's not crap for one thing. Getting your body and your family physically prepared, it's getting your mind spiritually prepared. If you've never been in a war zone, if you've never been in a horrific city where you see bloodshed consistently, you will not understand the level of depravity that will be coming upon this country.
That's
And I
excellent.
mean, it is horrific. War is horrific. Most people don't even understand. They can sit there, Bob, and they can watch a rated R movie, all these different types of war movies. They can watch people be blown apart and aliens rip them apart and eat them, or people be stabbed to death by, Jason Voorhees. They can watch all that, and then they say, oh my gosh, look how horrific, this gang beating was. You ain't seen nothing.
No, nothing. The thing I learned is, if you are not putting yourself in harm's way right now, and what I mean by harm's way, we're not picking up an AR-15 and go shooting bad guys. I'm talking about morally putting yourself in harm's way, standing up for the truth. No, there are two sexes, period. No, this is not, communism will not work. It's never worked. If you're not standing up for the truth, you're not putting yourself in the danger zone. And you don't know what it's like to be in combat. If you do, I mean, I can read all the Bruce Lee books I want and watch the movies. Unless I go in there and get my snot locker punched a couple times, I don't know how to. That's how I learned to fight. If you want to learn how to fight in this day, you better put the TV set away. You better put away your complacency. And I don't want to be cause ripples. I don't want to do this. Look at this. David killed giants. He was a man of God. Moses delivered people. I mean, you look at these men of God in the Bible, they were brave men. Abraham said, they're not going to let keep my nephew. They kidnapped him. I'm going to go take him back and kill them all. That's what he did. So if you're not putting yourself in harm's way today morally and in the arena of thought, if you're just sitting back and let somebody else do it, I promise you will not stand in the day when they say, okay, you got to take a mark. Okay, my church told me to do it. We have to obey the government. You're not going to have what it takes to stand in that day. It takes you have to train to fight. And I'm not talking in the physical realm. I'm talking about spiritual fighting right now, standing up for truth, proclaiming truth. And if you're not doing that, you are going to cave. I promise you will. It takes something to fly into a nation to know where, if I go there, I could be killed. I remember when my son was flying off to Fallujah. I was down at Mike Battery, Chattanooga, and I realized when he got on that bus, he was getting on the bus going someplace where people were going to pull a trigger pointing it at him. They wanted to kill him, and he put himself in that situation. And a lot of brave men and women did. But morally speaking, spiritually speaking, if you want to be Casper Milquetoast and sit back and not do anything and let somebody else carry the weight, you are going to fall because you've never trained yourself in the art of spiritual war. You've never trained yourself to have a backbone and to speak up boldly. You've not trained yourself with that. And that kind of thing takes training. It can start small, but eventually God wants to have you proclaim it. And I'll tell you, you're not going to be liked by a lot of people. We always have this romantic view of Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. We have a romantic view. They were hated. Isaiah was sawn in half. I can imagine that. Jeremiah was thrown in a poop pit, Excuse me, lack of a better word.
We're gonna have to stop right there. We're right up against the clock. Thank you very much for coming on, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna have Bob on a lot more. If you like what you're hearing, please spread this show. Please visit Bob. Visit his website. Give him a call and prepare now while you still have the chance, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Doug Thornton. You've been listening to Bob Griswold. This is American Vindicta. We're out.
God bless.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.